What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
We are back, folks. We are live, August 25th, 2020. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters here. Episode 109, Patriot Power Hour. My co-host, Future Dan, FutureDanger.com. How you doing there, sir?
Hanging in there. This is just a slow doldrums of late summer, and we're seeing rioting again and heading right into the election.
Yeah, it's those dog days of summer. None of the problems of the last 8 months have been solved. They've just kind of, some of them have gone dormant. Some are starting to rear their head again. But in a way, it is it's kind of a slow news cycle right now. But a lot is really starting to get focused on the election. We will talk more about the election as we get closer. We really avoided it for most of the year so far. Well, for good reason. There's been so much other stuff going on. But as we hit this, you know, especially like 60 days out and counting, we'll definitely be talking about it. At least I would expect one segment per show. And again, we aren't a political science show or even necessarily political commentary. We're more looking for information to help you prepare and when to enact your preparedness plans. That's how we try to fit in here on the Prepper Broadcast Network. But we will be talking about some of those politics coming up, whether we want to or not. So that's what we're looking at. We do have a news blitz today, though, with a fair amount of information. We're going to go actually on some deep dives. But before we do that, we're going to have open phone lines at the bottom of the hour. So as always, we're live, 8 p.m. Eastern, this Tuesday, August 25th, at the bottom of the hour after the news blitz. So in about 25 minutes, open phone line. The number, please do write it down, 303-731-3609. One more time, 303-731-3609. Call in live to the Patriot Power Hour. If you're listening on archive and you want to call in the future, that number will be active, number one. Number two, we can also take Skype callers. So if you're international or whatever reason you don't want to call on phone or are unable to, let me know ahead of time, and we can connect via Skype. So looking forward to getting a lot more of that interaction going forward. So anyway, one more time, 303-731-3609, essentially open phone lines, whatever you want to talk about at the bottom half of the hour. We'll see what we get. Cast that net out there, eh?
Yeah. So domestically tonight, we got Wisconsin in a state of emergency. Another police shooting, another African-American man, and third night of violence. And Portland's never stopped rioting, but it's erupted again. So how do we even discuss this without trotting the same ground that every network that you choose to listen to has already talked about constantly in a 24-hour cable news cycle, every talk show, every other podcast? And I think the answer is this is now potentially the new normal. And it doesn't necessarily spread beyond the localized city. I mean, that even when it did spread nationwide, it was to a point and then controlled.
Right. It definitely was not as extreme as it was in Minneapolis in, the example in June.
So it's sad to say, but there's a new threshold before we talk seriously about, you know, without rule of law areas. But there is going to be violent rioting in certain cities, it seems like, on a regular basis now.
Well, and unfortunately, and these are just made-up numbers, but let's say there are 100 of these totally unarmed black shootings by police that are caught on video per year. Let's just say 100 of them. Even if that was knocked down to 15 or 20, it's like an 80% reduction. That's still going to cause riots every single time at this rate. So I'm not saying at all that it's reduced by that amount or that it's reduced at all necessarily, but it's already, the ground has already been stoked. The fuel is already there. It doesn't matter how many sparks are anymore and how even egregious it is. It's just going to kind of perpetuate itself. That's how I look at it. It's never going to fully go away, at least in the short term.
Yeah, and the police in this case fired on a guy who was part of altercations and part of defying police orders near a scene of another crime, a fight. So assaults are going on, and he was nearby. So in those circumstances, you don't exactly have freedom to stand around and say and do anything you want. You're involved in an active crime scene. So he, from the reports I've heard, went to a car and got shot 7 times in the back for doing so, and potentially was known to the police to have been, in possession of firearms. Whatever the laws in Wisconsin may be, they somehow knew from weapons charges, I believe. Could be wrong on that point. But when I heard the whole scenario, and I haven't watched the video, and probably won't, but if you're firing on someone under those circumstances, it's pretty close to the types of rules of engagement that are dictated in war, right? If you've identified enemy in war, you don't have to wait to see if they're armed or not. You don't have to wait to see if they're a threat or not. You don't have to, stand and decide, is the person a threat by going into a vehicle, which could conceal weapons, and then be presented as a threat. And on the policing side, those standards kind of are in question right now. And police are being taught that, after some level of evidence in their eyes is met, you start engaging targets to protect your own life. I don't know where the right and wrong is on this one at all.
Oh, yeah.
But it's definitely the rules of engagement are going to be hotly contested nationwide for a long time to come because of this, because of the kneeling on the necks that caused fatalities. How police do their business is going to be in radical flux.
Well, something I've been harping on a lot of other people for the last decade is the militarization of the police, both in their training, but also their equipment. Especially large urban center police departments have been turned into pretty much a military force. They have the big armored vehicles. They have the SWAT. They look like something straight out of Iraq that was repurposed for the American streets. So just that attitude and kind of culture change has precipitated some of this. But those streets are dangerous, and I'm sure, I know for a fact that cops get ambushed and stuff all the time. So, it is definitely a tough situation. It's like a spectrum, too. So, I did watch the video. It looked pretty bad. It was a questionable circumstance, but the guy was, had his back to him. But do you want to be a quick draw if you're the cop and risk everything just because it's so tough? I think it's more of a it's way more of a social issue than a racial issue, in my opinion. Hard for me to say that as a white boy. But listen, I think it's a lot more about the police just becoming more brutal overall. And an even bigger part of it potentially is just that these things are being caught on tape. These things probably happen a lot in the last, pretty much throughout history. But now everything's on social media or right out there, that is just so much easier to see.
No one's going to get used to it because you used to not be able to see it, and now you have to.
Yeah, think of there's movies and stuff about, the 70s in New York or different time periods and all the different corruption or cops doing this and that.
I'll tell you
another. This wasn't on social media for 50 million people to see, so it's a little, but this stuff's gone on forever. Not saying that it's not important, but kind of a little perspective too.
I'll tell you another dimension that's part of this. Supply and demand of labor. If the rules of engagement become so restrictive that, you know, you're not going to be able to raise police forces that are professional, collect evidence, make arrests in a lawful, constitutional manner, because for fear of, you know, now you're on the street and you're targeted and you can't respond to protect your own life, it degrades police departments. So this is a vicious cycle.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And, you know, police forces mutineering, just abandoning their posts. That happened during Katrina 2005 in Louisiana, right? The areas went without police protection because police left the job, mostly because they had families that they hadn't even prepared for, and those police departments didn't consider that unless your police force has all of its family members protected, it's not effective. Every military base in this country knows that. And dependents will be brought onto post, and the gates will be locked, and if necessary, to protect the sailors and airmen and soldiers and Marines on post. That's not like that for a police department in Wisconsin, right? So how far can you tip society into unrest before the integrity of police forces is really starts to come apart at the seams?
Yeah, and pretty much seeing that happening right now. This didn't happen overnight necessarily. So, no, all good points. I guess if it stays regionalized, then it'll still be, you know, these are still important issues, especially if we live in this area, and maybe something you should be planning for as a prepper if you don't live out in the country away from everybody. But if you do live, not even in a urban center, but what, Kenosha, Wisconsin is kind of like suburb. You know, large town, but it's not New York, L.A., Chicago. I mean, you know, Chicago's so sprawling, you could say it's part of Chicago. But my point is, unless, you know, if you live anywhere where there's a decent amount of people and people could come down Main Street and start burning stuff down or just start attacking houses nearby if you live in, like, city center or something, you know, something to prep for sure.
Yeah, paying attention to your local environment is preached heavily in the preparedness community. Understanding all the, you know, dimensions of government and society and the neighborhoods and what to expect when things get harder. You know, analyzing the state of your local police force, how confident you are that they're not going to err on the side of you know, excessive use of force or just suddenly be absent and allow the forces that can to wreak havoc. Having a police force that is independent and possibly with a leader who's popularly elected seems to me like a good move in terms of analyzing your area. Where should you be in the event that things go worse?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's just another thing to think about, another data point. I think there's bigger picture kind of macro issues that are more dangerous to most people. And I'm not even talking about COVID necessarily. But there have been a lot of businesses affected. I'm just happy that no one on the other side, whether that's a property owner or just an anti-protester, has come out and done anything violent. That's really good, and I hope that continues, unless their life and property is being threatened legitimately. But, let's hope that doesn't happen. But if someone gets, you know, 20 of these people get mowed down by a quote unquote Second Amendment protester, false flag or not, you know, what could be a whole new story.
New level of civil unrest.
Yeah, exactly. So that's maybe something to look towards in the future. But again, hopefully not anywhere near happening soon. So we're going to break. We got the news blitz coming up. Have not opened the phone lines, but we did give the phone line out. Let's do that again. 303-731-3609.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
Why, Johnny Ringo. You look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
This is the Future Danger News Blitzkrieg on Patriot Power Hour, episode 109. It is Tuesday, August 25th, 2020, column 1. Our judicial system produces a teen who punched and killed a man over $1, being sentenced to anger management probation in Maryland. Our system also produces a suspect in maximum security prison named Madam Maxwell, whose lawyers urged judge not to, quote, let the cat out of the bag. In other words, expose powerful pedophiles. We have the Speaker of the House calling political opponents enemy of the state. Political opponents officially vilified in the United States now. Religious freedom. California prosecutor threatens worshipers with jail time if they continue to attend church. COVID-19 tyranny. Twitter censors the president's tweet about voter security disaster. News censorship naked and unafraid from Twitter. Riots have erupted. Portland rioters set fire to the county government building as riots in Kenosha, Wisconsin, continue to the third night. Multiple buildings set on fire. South Carolina man opens fire near the supporters who have gathered to rally for the president's political campaign. Brutal political violence is lurking. Foreign black ops suspected officially by the United States government. Ex-Green Beret charged with Russia espionage. We're going to get into that one later. Texas A&M professor, NASA researcher, both arrested for alleged China ties. We're going to deep dive espionage in the United States, publicly revealed reports in the last few years. See if we can see any trends in segment 3. In the Pacific, war games over Taiwan show U.S. losing again and again. Those are Pentagon war games, modeling and simulation. Weapon systems on weapon systems. They know the density and the capabilities of all of these things, and they put them in the computers and run models. They're called, it's war gaming. And holding Taiwan in 2020 may be harder than ever for the United States and Taiwan's combined forces. In the Middle East, Iran confirms an explosion a few weeks ago at a nuclear site was an act of sabotage. We categorize that Under the header, Israeli-Iranian war starts because things like that could lead to that. National Guard activated, of course, Wisconsin rioting. Israel raises concerns with the United States about a new Saudi nuclear facility carried under the seldom activated, very niche and unique Saudi Arabian military nuclearizes indicator. Would not be a good sign. Chinese Navy is drilling in four regions simultaneously this week, showing the ability to carry the United States. And of course, in the column to security, in the indicator entitled Police Permeated by Brutality, police in Wisconsin shoot black man in back entering a SUV. Column three, economic. Firms widely failing. Struggling retailers rush to file for bankruptcy. Global bankruptcies soar despite trillions in liquidity since the COVID lockdowns. Corporate America is choking on debt. Will it freeze the credit markets? We're going to keep our eye on that. Meanwhile, arms and ammo sales continue to surge. It is itself a form of panic buying. Bank of Nova Scotia, Ben, is going to enjoy this story. I'm sure we'll get into it later. Bank of Nova Scotia pays a hefty fine over criminal precious metal manipulation. Does that necessarily mean they suppressed the price of gold? Do we have evidence of that yet? We'll get into it. Column 4, wildfires in California. Nearly 11,000 lightning strikes spark over 350 California fires. Thousands have fled. California firefighters taxed to the limit. Foul air. 1 week burns up to 1 million acres. Make that 1.4 just yesterday. Have burned in California. Compare that to only 56,000 this time last year. It's nearly three times as bad this year. No heavy fatalities yet reported, so still a low-level indicator, but there are major, typical late August wildfires in the West. COVID-19 news. This disease may spread via frozen food packaging, by some reports. Could be in the food supply. Hong Kong reports the first coronavirus reinfection. That's a big deal. You can get it twice, or perhaps more times. And in non-COVID but pestilence news, new Ebola outbreak reported in the Congo. That's a serious disease. Like COVID is minorly compared to Ebola. Just doesn't transmit as badly, but it is lethal. Flu vaccine now required for all Massachusetts students. Vaccinations are forced in that state. We got a tropical storm. Actually, it's probably a hurricane by tonight. Laura, set to strike Louisiana. Looking at the Gulf wind map on future danger, Ben, it's not a tight eye yet. So these things can peter out and become non-lethal, or they can tighten right up and become major, major disasters. Just this past week, small asteroid becomes the closest ever seen passing Earth. Wasn't that big, but it was a true asteroid, and it was pretty close. And scientists have grown a liver by injecting cells into a pig's lymph nodes. Nature is re-engineered. That is the future danger heat map, Blitzkrieg. What jumps out at you?
I guess my first just gut reaction. I'm in the insurance industry, and wildfires, extremely expensive the last decade, cost billions upon billions. Throw that in with another hurricane season. Doesn't look like this is going to be like a category 4 or 5, but could be some heavy flooding and damage. Just saying, in previous years, something like this would make the industry unprofitable, and your average business would see a 5 to 10% increase in their insurance rates, which is a drain on society. I know you're not necessarily a fan of insurance, so insurance rates going up is much like taxes going up from the government.
It's unproductive to the economy.
Right. So when this stuff happens normally, it causes rates to go up. But we've had something called COVID, which has really screwed the insurance industry over, and they're going to be fighting like asbestos and other, you know, big ticket items for decades to come. Not only the liability of people getting COVID and dying, but just the bankruptcies associated with that. Is that covered with insurance, et cetera, et cetera? So just personally, we're seeing kind of insult the injury to the insurance industry, which is very, very large and a big part of the economy. That's just one fraction of the economy, of course, but they're getting pounded hard. We're seeing almost everyone except Silicon Valley getting beat down. Of course, NASDAQ and the stock market's essentially all-time high, but a lot of real data is still heavily depressed because of COVID. The question is anything going to reopen kind of after Labor Day? Schools seem like they're going to try, but mostly it depends on the state and the area, but it's mostly going to be virtual. But colleges, some are going forth, some aren't. You know, college football's canceled. That's really is billions of dollars to many local economies gone. All that adds up, but we have trillions and trillions in the liquidity, as we saw. We might have all these bankruptcies, but as the article here said, global bankruptcy soaring despite trillions in liquidity. Those trillions that were spent and really borrowed, they're pretty much running out. So we're either going to have to borrow trillions more to keep things afloat until, you know, this time next year or next spring type of thing. Or we're going to have to pay the piper. Of course, they're going to kick a can down the road. But I'm not going for a bold prediction like I did about this time last year, but I'm expecting another massive trillion-plus dollar stimulus bill before end of the year. And that'll just add on to that national debt and just keep putting that pressure. It's a vice that's squeezing every part of the economy. And there's people, I've noticed personally, people that are out of work and starting to struggle and starting to add up now. So, and that's just anecdotal, of course. But every day, it's getting a little worse. It's not getting better. And that's just adding up.
Yeah, no. You think those insurance companies could collapse from too many of these disasters and get you one of those, you know, one of those banks all simultaneously collapsing because they probably tied together with some ridiculous accounting methods that are totally novel and criminal. Like, what's one of these things? It's just one more card in the house of cards that could kick.
That's a great way to put it. I think you have it perfectly put out there. If one of these turns into an AIG, which was mostly credit default swaps and whatnot, but what is it, an insurance company? And some of these insurance companies and banks have a bunch of their assets are very it's not transparent, let's just say that. So they're playing games, accounting, as you said. And if one of these companies does come out and post a massive loss, and then they're going to have write-downs and maybe even cut their dividend or maybe even sell off part of the business, that could cascade, certainly. But like I said, that's just one deck of the cards. So maybe if that was the only thing going wrong, it would be survive. You know, things would be okay. There's just a few of those things, but they're all adding up. And the rainy day fund is gone, as I've said before. Interest rates are at zero, and we're borrowing way beyond a sustainable pace. So unless things get better, which I hope they will, but at this rate they don't seem like it, we're just going to have to borrow more money, and that's just bringing us closer to, you know, the midnight doomsday clock, if you know what I mean. Financially, at least.
Yeah, the Constitution-loving middle America has so many threats on so many fronts.
Yeah, I was thinking of, actually, this is a great idea, a deck of cards, 52 threats. 52 prepper threats. Come on.
Keep it simple.
That's James, Intrepid Commander. I won't even take a cut. Make a deck of cards, 52 events or whatever, and two Joker cards or whatever. Make that deck of cards, sell it for $10 or whatever, and sponsor it for the network.
Got four.
One of them will be insurance defaults or something.
We got 492 future danger indicators. I guess what are the top, in each column? You could make a deck of cards.
Yeah,
it would be kind of.
Get them a few decks.
Kind of dark.
Themed, maybe one deck per column or something.
Kind of be dark.
For sure, cards. For sure. All right, well, we're going to come back with those open phone lines. Right back. Anything for you. Got money,
just tell me what you want me to. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
It was right after the revolution, right after peace had been concluded. And Ethan Allen went to London to help our new country conduct its business with the king. The English sneered at how rough we are and rude and simple-minded and on like that everywhere he went. Till one day he was invited to the townhouse of a great English lord. Dinner was served, beverages imbibed. Time passed, as happens, and Mr. Allen found he needed the privy. He was grateful to be directed thence. Relieved, you might say. Now, Mr. Allen discovered on entering the water closet that the only decoration therein was a portrait of George Washington. Ethan Allen done what he came to do and returned to the drawing room. His host and the others were disappointed when he didn't mention Washington's portrait. And finally, his lordship couldn't resist and asked Mr. Allen had he noticed it, the picture of Washington he had. Well, what did he think of its placement? Did it seem appropriately located to Mr. Allen? Mr. Allen said it did. His host was astounded. Appropriate? George Washington's likeness in a water closet? Yes, said Mr. Allen, where it'll do good service. The whole world knows nothing to make an Englishman shit quicker than the sight of George Washington.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Hey, we're back. Patriot Power Hour. Ben the Breaker Banksters. Follow me at Bankster Breaker on Twitter, at Bankster Breaker. And my colleague at Future Danger 6, numeral 6. I was on a nice streak with Twitter, but I haven't gone on for about a week. I've had a couple of listeners reach out to me. Really appreciate that. I will get back to you. I know I meant to do that. I remember just now that I failed to do that today before the show. I meant to. But I'll get back to everybody. Send me a DM or tag me or whatever. Appreciate the love and the questions. If you want to be a guest or got some suggestions as well, hit me up. I actually have a potential guest for the next few weeks. He was on the show previously, not when we were on the Prepper Broadcast Network, but maybe about a year and a half ago. So I won't go any further since it's not locked in, but is an awesome guest. Hope to get him on in the near future. So anyway, at Bankster Breaker, best way to reach out. Of course, just go to FutureDanger.com. You can find my colleague and all his info. We're going to give that number out one more time. 303-731-3609. If you listen on archive and want to call in next week or any other future show, we will be live and having this number up forevermore. So the phone line is finally open, just open. If you tried calling earlier, it was not open, so you probably didn't get through. It is now, though. Anyway, I do want to get into something, though, before we go any further, and that was the vaccinations forced indicator, which is it's red level, the second highest threat level. Flu vaccine now required for all Massachusetts students. Say that 10 times fast. So, the one and only Dave Jones, on his daily audio rant, recently discussed how in his state, Virginia, the governor is already trying to posture for a mandatory COVID vaccine. Even though we don't even have the trials, I don't even think they've begun, like the true official trials, let alone has it passed, shown efficacy, some level of safety. But they're already talking about mandatory, and it's not just for going to school like here. We're talking like just to, I don't know, get a job or maybe leave the state. I'm not saying they're going to bring in a draconian system immediately, but they will certainly move the Overton window. they're pushing that as hard as they can right now. What see you, what say you, Future Dan, on this push towards the mandatory vaccinations in general, of course, but really, I'm looking at the COVID. That's we've been talking about this for a while, but it's starting to finally turn from theory to reality, that push.
Yeah, well, there's a difference between vaccinations being coerced and forced, right? Forced would mean somebody that come and grab you and put them in your arm, right? Although that's pretty much what happens with babies in most public hospitals, right? You're not getting a choice. So it's happening to infants, but to adults, to force it in a vaccination on adults, I don't see how we do that in this country without so many other things going terribly wrong. So many people that couldn't, you know, what police force would force vaccinate people? That's dystopia. That's right. Like after not COVID-19, but a truly lethal biblical style pandemic comes along and there's half of us still standing, then you might see that become common. But that we're not going to get, you're not going to get forced into it. The real question is, with the technological surveillance state, what can they take away from you to coerce you to take them? How many things can they prevent you from having if you can't prove you're vaccinated? And it's going to be the driver's license. That's a big one.
If they actually go to driver's license, that's dystopic enough for me. Anything beyond that is like way beyond, that's pretty much, you know, you're going to the gulag level. I guess right before that is they restrict the driver's license. But I think, first of all, the definition of coercion versus being forced to do something is important. So I'm glad you brought that up. The coercion, I mean... Like I said, the Overton window, what that means is what is up for debate and what is used to be deemed ridiculous isn't deemed as ridiculous anymore. It may not come to pass, but it's that kind of incremental march towards tyranny, and in this case, in my opinion. Do you believe... Here's a good question for you. I know sometimes the conspiratorial route come... You know, you don't believe in that, and I don't necessarily believe in, you know, the dark guys or, you know, the dark room with the guys with the cigars are controlling everything. The banksters do control a lot, but do you think there is a planned program to coerce people with this vaccine? And so, whether that's, you know, Bill Gates is running the conspiracy, or is it just kind of a collective effort by organizations? And maybe not a masterminded by Bill Gates, but there is a nefarious or at least a kind of cohesive effort to force this vaccination for other reasons besides to make people safe.
Well, I'm more of a populist than, you know, a believer in the elite. I think if you're elitist, you don't have to be in the elite to be an elitist. You can be just someone who knows they're not in the elite, who chalks it all up to an elite. It has to be the wealthiest and smartest people that lead us. There has to be, you know, secret cabals running things. I can't have any power. It's the elite are all our problems. And the elite are a problem in many respects. And we talk about it constantly on the show. However, in this sort of situation, you talked about the governor in a particular state, it's really the grassroots. You got a solid 30% of people who have no problem taking vaccines, think that anyone who won't is the problem, and push politicians to just have some kind of coercion over their fellow man. That these people would blink like a deer if you said to them that the state can't inject me. It has no authority to penetrate me with any kind of chemicals that, for any reason, if I don't want to. They don't get that. Right. They really would. That 30% are tightly aligned with the people who want socialized medicine, tightly aligned with the people that are completely in favor with unrestricted abortion. You know, those people, they're a political block in this country, And if you're kind of, you know, don't see the harm in vaccines, feel free to take them. I'm not taking one from an experimental, probably bioengineered weapon out of China. The first vaccine that's set up to stop that might not. I'm not getting in the front of line to take that.
I don't even buy the first generation of PlayStations when they come out because they got to work out the problems. I think I'm going to take any vaccine, let alone one that's just developed on a fast track and take, you know, let alone the issues with mass producing it even close to a scale. So I don't even think this is. So I guess
it's
the question
a dog whistle.
Is this propaganda?
It's a dog whistle. To get that 30% to the polls. It's to get the other 30% that bothers to talk to the crazy 30% to try to
think
argue against
it.
And what do you get? You get programming for CNN and Fox News all night long. But are they actually going to come to the point where they can force you to have these vaccines? Certainly, you're not going to be able to attend things. And eventually, if enough businesses get on board with the plan, you're not going to be able to buy from certain sellers of things unless you're vaccinated. And then, yeah, it was never forced, but it was brutally coerced on us.
Yeah, and that's great. I'm really glad you brought that up because I have not gone out to anything besides local grocery stores. Except one time I went to a Walmart during this whole coronavirus pandemic. And that place was set up already perfectly, almost, for as FEMA Camp Light. Let's just call it that, all right? It's almost like they practiced this, okay? They had everything set up so well. Anyway, if you can't shop at a Walmart and your local grocery stores have closed, we know the small businesses are taking it way worse than the mega... Walmart's, Target, that type of stuff, right? Sam's Club, big box, Fortune 500 companies, right? So, yeah, I'm sure you'll still be able to purchase food at somewhere, but you're going to be severely limited, severely inconvenienced at best. If you know, there's the alliance of concerned retailers, and it, you know, all of a sudden you're boxed out of 70-80% of where. The place where you can buy. Well, maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe you don't want to be supporting them with your money anyway. But maybe on the flip side, you want to have some storable food and try to be a little more self-sustaining in the first place, so that won't be such a shock. That's kind of how we try to relate all this news we talk about to prepping. Just one example, I think.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. And if you could survive the period of hysteria and panic, I mean, we're in one in this country. Not all decisions being made at the national, state, and local level are rational right now. A lot of them are deeply irrational. And if you can get past these moments, the main body politic, the 70% that aren't like that, will eventually regain the day. And you'll come off of these, you know, surges in petty tyranny.
I hope so.
But we're in the midst of one of those right now.
That's the plan. That's what we hope for. I mean, if you do go back into American history, there was some crazy, crazy times and just some absurd stuff going on. I don't even have any great examples off the bat right now.
World War II.
But I was even thinking like in the early, mid-1800s and stuff. Wild stuff going on.
The restriction on U.S. liberty during World Wars I and II was significant.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But everybody bought into it because they knew we were at war and after it's over, it would ease up. When does the war against COVID or the war clandestinely with COVID end?
Yeah. Has it even started?
It started. It's on right now.
All right.
It's called 2020 and it sucks.
All right, folks. Going to that final break. We'll be back. Probably do a deep dive. Finish the show. Hit your timer.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
These things you say we will have, we already have.
That's true. I ain't promising you nothing extra. I'm just giving you life, and you're giving me life. And I'm saying that men can live together without butchering one another.
It's said that governments are chiefed by the double tongues. There is iron in your words of death for all Comanche to see, and so will there is iron in your words of life. No signed paper can hold the iron. It must come from men. The words of ten bearers carries the same iron of life and death. It is good that warriors such as we meet in the struggle of life or death. It shall be life.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, that final segment's coming right at you. Episode 109. Let's hit it hard before we turn it over to the Next Generation show. Future Dan, we want to deep dive one of your indicators on future danger. Give us a little background on what's going on here.
Yeah, this is all about foreign espionage in the United States. And if your deeply entrenched attitude is that the deep state in this country and other countries is a poison that must be gotten rid of, you got to contend with facts. You got to contend with realities. You got to contend with all kinds of foreign governments, clandestine services, working overtime to corrupt, degrade, and steal intellectual property, if not penetrate, you know, our security apparatus and pose, you know, outright threats to it. We got a lot of news that we covered in segment two about Black Ops. So what we wanted to do in segment four of episode 109 tonight is get a 12-month look back on the headlines of serious foreign espionage, suspected at least, in the United States, against the United States. And let that balance in your mind if you hear so much news and you're inclined to kind of just be, you know, hating the direction that the state is going. Think about the foreign actors that caused us to have this apparatus in the first place, because their intentions are dangerous to us as well. September 2019, Israel accused of planting mysterious spy devices near the White House. November of 2019, Epstein guest secretly filmed in every bedroom and toilet in his home, accuser claims. Compromat is suspected. December of last year, former CIA counterterrorism expert says Epstein built files for the Mossad. Continuing last December, Chinese spies breached military base previously in 2019. Chinese tech espionage in January causes Interior Department to ground scientific drones. That's a major Chinese drone story that's being forgotten about now. But the cyber implications of all of those drones produced in China, reporting back every aspect and detail to the Chinese government of the United States, mind boggles the mind what they might be able to put together if they're actually pulling that video together and using artificial intelligence to look at patterns. February of this year, the FBI was investigating more than 1,000 cases of Chinese government theft of American technology. U.S. officials say Chinese multinational tech company can covertly access telecom networks. Different angle to what the Chinese are accused of as spying. Remember, this is all pre-COVID. These headlines all came out in February. One more. U.S. agency that handles the president's secure communication suffers major data breach. That happened February 20th, mere days before COVID-19 took us all down. In March, after COVID hits, cyber attacks come with it. HHS, our Health and Human Services Department, in which is organized the CDC, it was cyber attacked right at the beginning of our response. That was March 16th. Same day, cyber attacks on our defense network soared. That was from Defense One and Newsmax. Those are your sources, respectively. Again in March, severe consequences if foreign governments are behind the HHS cyber attack, said the Attorney General. That came out of the Washington Examiner. Never heard anything about that since.
Me neither.
It's kind of a
black hole.
A little bit of a bluff because we haven't seen it. So some could see a pattern here that we suffered a bio warfare attack followed by a cyber attack in March. Cell operators were hit with a massive cyber attack in June. FBI director in July says China engaged in large-scale campaign to subvert the federal government and private sector. So there's your tepid response from the FBI, which is underneath the AG, supposedly. Mystery seeds from China landing in Americans' mailboxes in July. We covered that on Patriot Power Hour. Now, this month, early in August, NSA warns military and intel personnel that their cell phone location data possesses a national security threat. In other words, foreign states are piecing together who's in the security apparatus. The huge bureaucracy, including the armed forces and the intelligence community, the actual government employees, the armed service members, and all the contractors. And now, news that we're dealing with today, the arrests are coming. Three of them. Maybe this is good news, but it does rate as SHTF in our construct because now we have black ops suspected officially, maximum, which means it's happening in most likelihood. Ex-CIA officer charged with spying for China. That was on the 17th of August, and then just this past week, we read the headlines earlier. A Texas A&M professor and an NASA researcher were arrested for alleged China ties. And the Green Beret, who has been charged for espionage for Russia, is a very interesting story, Ben. I want to get into that case with this straight-up traitor. But before we do, what's your reaction on that 12-month look back?
You see things really picking up from the cyber attack aspect, and that's the least transparent, in my opinion. Who knows how bad that HHS or other attacks were, especially, I mean, first off, did we even detect them properly? Possibly not. Number two, would they tell us if something major in the government or military was compromised for whatever reason? Would they tell us? Or who knows? Maybe 10, 20 years it'll come out. Something, you know, that HHS was XYZ sort of attack. Maybe it's nothing. You know, there's all types. It's not a transparent aspect in there in cyber.
But you gotta take the information publicly available when you're making decisions about what you're doing as a family, as a survival group. This is ongoing and it's getting worse.
I think kind of parlayed into what you were saying. The with so much. So many people that want to take out America or steal from America, whether they're private corporations or state actors or lone wolves, you got to have some sort of defense. It's, you know, a boxing or a football sports MMA analogy. If you're the champion, you got a target on your back. Everyone's looking for you. Well, the United States is the wealthiest and most powerful militarily. So everyone's looking to get you. We got to have some sort of NSA. We got to have some sort of defenses. But then it gets into a real sticky situation with deep state and all the clandestine stuff. But I don't know what's going on with the cyber. We need the experts that do know what's going on with these cyber attacks and defend us. So we need that secrecy. But the apparatus is easily turned on the American people. That's where some of the problems happen.
Double-edged sword.
Exactly. So I definitely get where you're coming from. These attacks are just going to increase. And I just think that they probably are increasing even more so and more destructive or dangerous than we know. And it's just we don't know about it. For either they were not discovered or, you know, it's top secret classified or whatever.
Yeah, well, I don't think the volume that is happening behind the scenes is necessarily the issue. It's the robustness of our defense. You know, there's lots of layers of the national security apparatus who are straight up patriots that are trying to stop what has happened, and I'm going to read an article here about what has happened, and try to show people why this is not a good thing. And if you're anti-war for the most part, that's your choice. But The idea that a modern state doesn't have special operations warriors is probably naive. It's going to have them. And to have one of their own serve an entire career in the military. Former Army Green Beret, Special Forces. 45-year-old retiree Peter Raphael Dubinsky Debbins has been recorded by presumably the FBI as telling Russian intelligence he considered himself a son of Russia. All right? He did an entire Army career making it to Green Beret and was an asset of Russian intelligence reporting to them the entire time. Debbins' mother was born in the Soviet Union. He met his wife in a Russian city. They were married there in 1997. Nevertheless, he went through ROTC and then made it into the Army and then became a Green Beret and deployed multiple times with his A-teams throughout the theaters to include Central Command. Served in Korea as well. The entire time reporting to his Russian handlers, as far back as 1997. So, if you remember the movie No Way Out with Kevin Costner and a Russian spy that was infiltrated in as a teenager, that was a 1980s Cold War movie. Devin seems to have been one. And what's the problem with that? Every single special operations warrior he ever worked with, worked for, or knew is entirely compromised for the rest of their lives with Russian intelligence. Like, they are all mapped out, understood. They know where those people live. They'll know where they are the rest of their lives. And they're all at risk in this country to espionage because of what this traitor did. Debbins.
Well, yeah, and you can, I'm sure that could be used in a lot of other ways. Data mining and backtracking information that seemed like a cold case for them, for the Russian intelligence, or maybe even to the highest bidder, who knows. So, profound domino effect, certainly.
We're not going to let an episode of the Patriot Power Hour go by with a traitor like that in our midst and not call him out.
Well, then how many more are out there? We need to ferret out more. You got to expect for everyone that's caught, there's got to be a couple more.
It's about the most pro-FBIs you're going to find me. Those guys need to go and find those kind of guys.
Yeah, I wish they did a lot more of that work and not nefarious, but hats off, you know, we'll let the court of law prove it, but it sure seems like it's a solid case. Anyway, we got to make room for the Next Generation show. Future Dan, another good show in the bag. 110, episode 110 coming next week.
Yeah, next Tuesday, 110. Join us live, 8 p.m.
Absolutely.
Prepper Podcasting Network.
We're out. It'll be September, last August. Show of the fuck.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
These things you say we will have, we already have.
That's true. I ain't promising you nothing extra. I'm just giving you life, and you're giving me life. And I'm saying that men can live together without butchering one another.
It's said that governments are chiefed by the double tongues. And there is iron in your words of death for all Comanche to see. And so there is iron in your words of life. No signed paper can hold the iron. It must come from men. The words of 10 bearers carry the same iron of life and death. It is good that warriors such as we meet in the struggle of life or death. It shall be life.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com